So all of that constitutes the theme of Mozart's variations movement. What have we got? A, B, A, B, A. All of those phrases, six phrases in all, constitute the theme of Mozart's variations piece. That's a much more ambitious thematic statement than the ground bass theme we heard in Bach's C minor Passacaglia. But it's got to be more ambitious. It has to be recognizable. It has to be tuneful. It has to be imbued with those elements of classicism that we expect from the era of the Enlightenment. Tuneful, accessibility, and recognizability. So that becomes the theme, that entire unit. Please, let us do an inventory of thematic characteristics. Let's just say some general things about that theme. First, it is memorable, and therefore it will be easily recognized in its various guises as it returns across the span of this movement. Second of all, it's presented very simply here in the thematic section. There's nothing ambiguous. Our attention is focused entirely on the melody itself. The simple presentation of the theme allows the composer to save any novel accompanimental ideas for the variations themselves. Thirdly, the tune has a clear, even phrase structure and easily perceived cadences. Every one of those A phrases, A, B, A, B, A, ended with a closed cadence. And the two B phrases each ended with open cadences. And these cadences were clearly and again unambiguously spelled out for us. Fourthly, the final cadence was clearly closed. Now, why should this be important? The final cadence must be clear and again unambiguous, for the final cadence of the theme must separate the theme from the first variation. And then since the first variation is going to have the same phrase structure and cadential structure as the theme, each variation will be separated from the next with a clear, closed cadence. This is very important. Without that sense of closure at the end of one variation, we will not perceive the beginning of the next variation. So clear cadences, and that's what we talked about in the last lecture, clear cadences are essential to articulating theme and variations form. All right, please let us inventory the specifics of this theme, because first we have to know what the theme is to have an understanding what the variations might do. The theme is in major. Now, I wish I had more time to talk about major and minor, but I do not. So suffice it to say the following. Major and minor are the two essential scalar palettes from which composers draw their melodic and harmonic material in Western music from about 1650 to 1900. Minor is generally associated with darker and more emotional moods, and major with brighter and happier moods. Now, I generally don't like this happy-sad thing, but let me first demonstrate what I'm talking about. Something in major will sound, frankly, bright. Now, let me put that in minor. Yes, considerably different in impact. The reason why I don't like the happy, sad stuff is it's too subjective. If you just got a traffic ticket moments ago, no matter what I play for you, you will feel sad. And if you got a huge tax refund within the last few days with a note from the IRS saying, we will never, ever tax you again, we feel so badly about this error, then you're liable not to feel badly about anything for a decade or two. So please, happy, sad, much too subjective, depending on the time of day and what we're going through. Might I suggest the best way to think about this is light and dark, relative shades of brightness, relative shades of darkness. Yellow, as opposed to brown. This is no longer subjective. It's simply assigning a color to what we hear. And I think that's a safer way to talk about this. Some pieces will be invariably bright, some pieces invariably dark, and many right in the middle.